made a video not long ago. It was one of the Crack of Dawn reports. It was about a strip club being more righteous than a church, more demons in a church than in the strip club. None in the strip club. It's merely showing you the beauty of the female form, and in the church is filled with every unclean thing. And that was a video I had made, and it's gone. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender here. Someone who used to love me and care for me deeply took that down because she was in it, but that's okay. The truth stands that the demons now are infiltrating the religious system. We're going to look at the mystery of iniquity. I'm in Clyde Pilkington's book, The Church in Ruins, page 79. In a great house, 2 Timothy 2:20, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earth, some of honor, some to dishonor. The great house is full of iniquity. It's part of the mystery of iniquity. What's the mystery of iniquity? 2 Thessalonians 2:7 mentions it. The mystery of iniquity, or the secret of lawlessness, which the concordance says, is that lawlessness is now disguised as righteousness. That's the secret of lawlessness, is it's not obvious lawlessness. And it's a secret because very few are initiated into it. That's why I say, and many people just squawk at this, that the church is the home of every unclean thing. I'm telling you, the hairiest demons in the universe run the Christian religion. The hairiest demons in the universe. The amateurs are out there in the bars and such. Well, actually, as I've said it again and again, Jesus hung out in the bars. And so that was where the truth came out, because the people there were real and they were honest, and there were no hypocrites. I told you I was in Las Vegas earlier, and I think I said about Las Vegas in my blog that Las Vegas, the strip in Las Vegas, is honest. I love that about it. There's no pretense. There's no hypocrisy. But the church, all buttoned down and righteous, yet within are very unclean things. It's a mixture, the church is. Paul says to purge yourself from these. Now, we're going to get into this in Mystery, the Secret of Babylon. We're going to look into Babylon a little bit as somewhat of a preview of my series on Revelation, which I do think that my upcoming series on Revelation is going to go until the snatching away. There is so much in this book. Now, this is a little preview for that. I don't want you to think that when we get into Revelation, we're going to totally ignore the things of Paul, because we are not. We're going to contrast. We're going to make sure you realize that these things in Revelation are not for you. And we're going to contrast the things in Revelation, show you how opposite that is, and what a stark opposition it is to our blessings in Christ. The great house has a mixture of vessels in it, you notice. Some of earth, earthen and wood, some of gold and silver. But if you want to be fit for use, you purge yourself from these. And that's what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:20. You purge yourself. From the Concordant Version, 2 Timothy 2:20, in a great house, not only gold and silver utensils, but wooden and earthenware also, some indeed for honor, some for dishonor. If then anyone should ever be purging himself from these, he will be a utensil for honor, hallowed, useful to the owner, made ready for every good act. So eventually, when the vessels of honor of gold, when the vessels of gold and silver purge themselves from the mixture, and we know that this mixture is that which would mix the evangel of Paul with elements of law, there's going to be no more any vessels of honor in the ecclesia, in the false ecclesia, in the feigned ecclesia, in the fake ecclesia, because what you have now is a Hollywood wall of truth, and that is the secret of lawlessness, is that lawlessness is existing now, and that which is shining, that which is purported to be excellent, that which you're supposed to go to every Sunday. But I'm telling you, it's safer to take your kids to a strip club than into a church, and I am dead freaking serious. It is safer to take your kids to a strip club, your kids, yes, I said kids, because they're seeing something natural, the human body, which is beautiful, as opposed to the most unnatural, unholy, ungodly teachings that human beings can hear, namely that God has lost control of his universe, and that a God of love is going to torment most of humanity for eternity. My God, there's no comparison. And if anybody has a problem with that, then you're just going to have a problem with it. Let's talk about Babylon. Revelation 18, I'm going to start with verse 1. Now, before I say this, I got to tell you, Babylon's going to be a literal city. It was the capital of three other world kingdoms. The Babylonian Empire, capital, Babylon. The Medo-Persian Empire, capital, Babylon. Alexander the Great's Empire, the Grecian Empire, capital, Babylon. Likewise, the fourth world kingdom that we are awaiting, its capital will be Babylon. The financial capital will be Babylon, somehow, some way. But Martin, I don't care. It's going to be Babylon. Simple. God's going to work it out, believe me. Remember, the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. All the prophecies said that. But they assumed he was born in Nazareth because he quickly left Bethlehem to go to Egypt to escape Herod, and he was raised in Nazareth. So it's going to be a tricky thing, but it's going to be true. Scripture is going to be found to be true, but the majority are going to lose the trail somewhere. They're going to blink, and they're going to go off, and they're going to not realize it. So Babylon might be an underground bunker. I don't know, okay? You just have to believe that it's going to be Babylon. John, Revelation 18. And after these things, I perceived another messenger descending out of heaven, having great authority. And the earth is illuminated by his glory. And he cries with a strong voice, saying, It falls, Babylon the Great. And it became Babylon the Great. This is part of the mystery of lawlessness. Babylon the Great. Christians are going to call the end time deception great because they won't realize it's a deception because they don't receive a love of the truth. Therefore, God will be sending them. God himself, 2 Thessalonians, will be sending them an operation of deception for them to believe the lie. I should probably quote that verse for you. 2 Thessalonians 2:6. Now you're aware what is detaining for him to be unveiled in his own era. This is the man of lawlessness. For the secret of lawlessness is already operating. And the secret of lawlessness is again the fact that lawlessness is now disguised as righteousness. 2 Corinthians 11. Satan is a messenger of light. Only when the present detainer, that is, the body of Christ, may be coming to be out of the midst, then will be unveiled the lawless one, whom the Lord will dispatch with the spirit of his mouth and will discard by the advent of his presence, whose presence is in accord with the operation of Satan. Satan, remember him? He's the same one who is now disguising himself as a messenger of light, a dispenser of light, a messenger of righteousness. With all power and signs and false miracles. But keep in mind that the word miracles is in here, but the word false precedes it. False miracles. With every seduction. This thing is going to be mega seductive, uber seductive. Every seduction of injustice among those who are perishing, which is the majority of Christianity. Oh, I would say all of Christianity will perish in this deception. Why? That's answered in verse 12, because they do not receive the love of the truth for their salvation. And therefore, we're going back in time now, God will be sending them an operation of deception. God will be sending them an operation of deception. Oh, Martin, God would never do that. The only problem is he does. It says it right here. God sends the operation of deception for them to believe the falsehood. In the book of Matthew, the secret of the kingdom was that God himself kept the truth hid from Israel, lest they should believe and that he would heal them. He worked hard to keep them from believing it. He hardened their hearts, temporarily blinded them. It's obvious in Romans chapter 9. So therefore, God will send them an operation of deception for them to believe the false, so that all may be judged who do not believe the truth, but delight in injustice. We are teaching the truth, but many don't want to hear it because they delight in injustice. They delight in a God who will save some and damn others arbitrarily. And if it's not arbitrary, then he bases it on, well, some believed and some didn't. Meaning that it's not a salvation of grace after all, is it? It's a salvation of works. And now we're getting back to mixing a gospel of grace with a gospel of works. It falls, Babylon the Great, and it became the dwelling place of demons and the jail of every unclean spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Babylon the Great, it will look and smell and sound like the epitome of godliness, but it's going to be the epitome of godlessness. Remember, Antichrist, the title doesn't mean against Christ. Anti in the Greek means instead of Christ. The dwelling place of demons and the jail of every unclean spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For as a result of the wine of the fury of her prostitution, wine, the world is going to be drunk, drunken with the intoxicant of Babylon by prostitution. Prostitution involves some really sexy chicks. And the end time deception involves some really attractive religion. Religion mixed with politics. Now I'm going to close with quotes from Clyde, directly from Clyde Pilkington's book. He says this: there is a clear relationship between the Babylonian religious system. Now, there's going to be a literal Babylon, as I said, but it also figures a religious system. Remember, Paul talks about the systematizing of the deceptions, a religious system in the nations of the world. They're in bed together. The religious system and the world system are going to come together. That's the secret of Babylon. That's what shocked John in this vision, that the woman was riding on the back of the dragon. The dragon was the world system. The woman was the apostate religious system. Religion and politics are going to come together in a very, very seductive and explosive way. And that was so forbidden in Israel, that they would have anything to do with the Goyim. And yet, Israel in the end time is going to make a pact with the Goyim, i.e. the nations, the pigs, the dogs. And it's all for financial gain. And it's all for advantage. And this is what Clyde says in his book. They're in bed together for mutual financial advantage, along with the merchants of the world. It is a religious, political, socio-economic system. All the great things you just love about the world. Religion, politics, social. That's why most people go to church. I go for social reasons. Uh-oh, you got problems, kid. Religious, political, social, economic system. It's all based on money. It's all based on, I just like to be with these people. And it's all based on a one world government that has the cross as its emblem. And I believe the cross will be the mark of the beast. Are you a part of a religious entity that has a relationship, that is prostitution or fornication, with human government? In other words, he's talking about like the 501c3s, Church Inc., nonprofit organization. Flee from this stuff. People have asked me in the past, Martin, why aren't you a 501c3? Because they don't want anything to do with government. I want to stay away from government having any influence or control whatsoever, because government and religion is the prostitution coming that's going to create the one world government, which is the nest of Satan. Why would I want to have a 501c3? I'm sorry. You can't deduct your contributions to me. If you're doing it for that reason, it's the wrong reason anyway. Give because you love this message and you know that I'm out doing it. I'm out heralding the word opportunely and inopportunely. Now, in Revelation, I don't know if I read this far or not, but the call is to come out of her, my people. Now, in the context there, it's talking about Jews coming out of this horrible alliance between the religion and the politics, but this is a call for us too to come out of a system that has become politicized and monetized, and that is the world of Christianity. Why are God's people in this thing? Oh, well, I can think of six reasons off the top of my head. Actually, I'm reading them from Clyde's book. Advantage, prestige, honor, recognition, reputation, and respectability. I've talked to pastors who say, Martin, I believe like you do, but I can't tell it to my congregation. Because why? Because you're going to be kicked out. Because people are going to think less of you. Because you're going to lose your income. And when you lose your income, you might lose your wife. Yeah, I know. You got problems, don't you? If your living is tied with this, you know, I have a great situation because you help me do what I do to think for myself, to expose this stuff. But these poor pastors in the system are paid to stay in the system and to parrot the line of the system. God forbid they should see the truth, because then they'll have to leave the system, and you live by the system, you die by the system. So advantage, prestige, honor, recognition, reputation, respectability. These things are killers. Yet God is calling out his people. He's calling us out, the ecclesia, out called from this crap. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about not being unequally yoked with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Okay, we're going to make a distinction. Beware, I'm going to be extremely politically correct tomorrow. I've just been dabbling in political incorrectness today. Tomorrow you're going to see the full force of Martin Zender's political incorrectness. We'll